I'm Greg Jarrett, KGO Radio News.
Greg, you ought to listen to this this next half hour. I'm going to sell you an album here.
Okay.
And I am going to sell people an album in this half hour. And it's the kind of music many of you will say, well, I don't listen to that guy. I'm one of those people that loves, and I know Greg does too, the history of American music, how certain categories became the categories they are. And, you know, we think of things in big bunches, rock and roll, alternative, R&B, blues, gospel, all of these things, and tend not to realize that in many ways they overlap, that there are forces within music that affect one category and another. And
gospel, blues, swing.
All these things come together in many, many ways, and we're going to give you just an amazing example. Music that you probably have never heard before, of extraordinary skill, that really did affect a number of these different categories. The people within music know this music. And my guest is Anita Gardner. Anita Faye, as she is known to her close personal friends, of which I number myself in a vast army. Known her for about 25 years from Sacramento, where she worked in radio and in advertising, had her own agency over there. I used to hear stories, as did my wife, from Anita Faye, that two of them still have tea every chance they get. They say it's tea. I don't know. in any case, I used to hear stories about your mom, mm-hmm. your family, and this weird sort of existence that they lived back in the 50s, and what's resulted from this in the last few years is your effort to make that into a play, to get the music back together again, and you've been remarkably successful.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah.
As they say in creative circles, it's a process.
Yes, it are. And it's always difficult to get people to listen. But a music company that specializes in the history of music...
Mm-hmm.
listened and put together really an extraordinary... I mean, the way they mounted this is really something.
Yeah, they're amazing. They call themselves curators. When I met this company, Numero Group, out of Chicago, it was a circuitous route. It was through NPR Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I heard them on the radio talking about an R&B group of records that they had compiled, and they call themselves curators of some of the best music you've never heard. They
yeah.
stole your show time.
Yeah, they stole my show time.
So I heard
or I stole it from them. I don't know which it was.
I heard about the guys, and mostly I was listening for how they came to find the music they found. And they spoke lovingly with a lot of passion, and that somehow I felt I'd be in good hands. They got in touch.
No kidding. I mean, the look of this thing is as good as any album I've seen. But let's hear just a little bit.
Well, when the shadows all appear, and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone.
Now that remarkable voice is Anita's mother, Fern. Remarkable and unusual, even strange would be another way of saying it. A really unusual person. I used to hear these stories and go, sure, this is just Anita Faye being dramatic, but no, that's not the case. Your father was a preacher.
Yeah, and then mother later became ordained within the same sect. They were Pentecostal evangelists in the Deep South, under the tents, on the radio.
Yeah, but she and they are doing extraordinarily accomplished, rather hot music. Yes, this piece was quasi-gospel,
mm-hmm.
but they did all sorts of stuff. And again, in a sort of religious context.
Yeah, Pete, what you said a couple of minutes ago, it really is remarkable how the history of rockabilly and rock emerged from the churches. That's not to say that Mother and Daddy invented anything, but I will say they didn't know they were making history.
Yeah.
There was no such word as rockabilly. We barely had heard rock and roll applied to rock around the clock.
Right.
Mother was singing the way she sang as a teenager in juke joints, nightclubs.
Yeah.
Daddy came up with the Appalachian sound, the acoustic.
Right. Scotch-Irish Appalachian, yeah.
Exactly. This stuff that you and Sandra listen to.
All the time.
Eventually, maybe because of the passion of their love affair, maybe because Daddy really believed this, he would calm the masses. You'd hear the whispering starting about how Sister Fern sang, and may I say how she looked,
mm-hmm, yeah,
which was probably distinctly unchristian in those days.
The sister was a babe, actually.
Yeah.
Was a babe.
So Daddy would try to calm the people and say, now, wait a minute, it's all sanctified if it's done in the Lord's name.
Yeah, which is, of course, you can either buy it or not buy it. But other musicians knew these folks. And as folks, we're talking about a period of time. If you listen to that first piece, yes, it's about God, but it's really close to rock and roll at the same time that rock and roll was developing.
Exactly. And they were of the same religious sect as a lot of famous Southern gospel quartet singers. A young man named Elvis Presley heard this music in church, and he said in interview after interview that he tried to emulate this sound. It's hard to remember that Mother came before Patsy and before Elvis. Mm.
Play 14 for me, Karen, would you, as we go to a commercial break. Anita Faye Garner's the guest. The album is called The Glory Road, and we'll tell you how to get it as we go along here, but it's really extraordinary. Again, the history of music, and by the way, affected by some very big names during that period of time.
God is dark on every hand. We cannot understand the way that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. He'll guide us with his eye. We'll follow till we die. We'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, every day, there's racing happening every day.
Sister Fern.
Every day.
Now listen to this
every
voice.
Day.
This is a honky-tonk voice. Singing revival. I mean, you know, she's not doing revival. I mean, this is very close to that jump into rock and roll. If you listen, to Little Richard, to any of the first real big voices, you heard this stuff in them, Anita.
Mm-hmm, exactly, Pete. They got it from the churches, but we should go back a step behind that. Historians know that people like Mother and Daddy got a lot of how they sounded from race music. Which is what it was called then.
Then it was called race music, exactly.
And now leap forward to when Mother laid down those tracks in 1958 in Nashville. There was still no place for a woman who sang like that to be played on the radio.
Yeah.
So what makes me smile today is she's being played on the radio 50 years later.
Now, my engineer, Karen Reed, has to listen to stuff all day long, listen to voices all day long. She listens to all the music in here as well. Karen, I want you to do something as you're listening to this. When you hear Sister Fern, who does she sound like? You insist that she doesn't sound like you. And you're wrong, Anita Faye. You're wrong. Well, folks, we're going to tell you, just give them a couple ideas of where they can get this album. Again, if you're interested in the history of music or just an amazing voice and some great musicians, this is good stuff.
I think the easiest place is probably the record company's website right now. It's Numero Group, spelled the way it sounds, NUMERO Group.com. Amazon.com has it.
Mm-hmm.
If you feed Fern Jones, The Glory Road, into any search engine, you'll come up with pages of stores. Now, the record company will be distributing it far and wide. It'll be in all...
yeah, Tower and all that stuff,
all
eventually, because this is just coming out. Just give us a little something as we're going into Terry Rouse. You choose the album.
Cause when you get religion, you know about it. And when it comes into your heart, you just can't help but shout it.
I think that is a great, great voice. Terry Rouse has traffic for us, Terry.
That is an amazing voice. Amazing sound. You got to love it. Not so much. Albertsons, help you make your life easier. With the Bay Area's best traffic coverage, I'm Terry Rouse, KDRO Radio News.
Back on the Pete Wilson program with Sister Fern Jones. And again, the group was called...
Record company?
Her group. In other words, what do they call themselves?
Oh, she was just Sister Fern.
Sister Fern and in the backup, right?
Backing her is the Sunshine Boys, featuring a bass singer named J.D. Sumner, mm-hmm, who left and went on tour with Elvis for the rest of his life.
That's right. And again, they played with all sorts of people back in this period of time.
Oh, yeah, the A-Team. Nashville's A-Team. What you're asking.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We're with Anita Faye Garner, who is putting together... and again, she's been working on this for years. I can't remember when you actually started, first of all, getting your mother's old music back together mm-hmm. again in some way, going through all the old stuff that was lying around with you and your brother and so on, and trying to make head or tails of it. And what you've done is written a play, and a lot of people are interested in this. We don't have to go into any of that, but a little of the story here.
Yeah. I started when Mother passed in 96, thinking I would write a memoir-like story. Got a literary agent, started turning in chapters, and she said, gee, I'd love to see these people on stage. And that's how the play started. Basically, we were gospel gypsies. We came before televangelism. And so because Mother and Daddy were both good-looking, charismatic, and had a certain amount of musical talent, they developed a following under the tents. Daddy felt a calling to preach and to shepherd a small flock. Mm-hmm. Mother felt a calling, I'm guessing, to be a star. And yeah. So they were in constant conflict over that.
By the way, this album was the only album, right?
And they made one called The Joneses Sing, and they sold it out of the trunk of the car from stop to stop.
Yeah, well, if people think that CDs were the first time people did that, you know, where you go to a local group and they got their own CD. No, it actually occurred even back in the early 50s. But for whatever reasons, it never exploded beyond a very confined audience. People knew who they were and went to see them, but they didn't get the big career.
You know, some of the heavy lifting in terms of the research and the story booklet that accompanies this was done by Joel Selvin, music writer for The Chronicle.
The terrific music writer and historian.
He is so well-versed in this whole era. Joel taught me things about how really extraordinary it was that she even gathered that A-team together, how they even got together in Nashville. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll take a quick break, listen to a little more of this stuff. Again, Sister Fern. And conclude with Anita Faye Garner on KTO.
Keeps me busy. How marvelous and easy. Me busy, 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 thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rain, 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 didn't it rain, 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 children? Rain, oh my Lord, didn't it, oh.
Anita Faye Garner, that's her mother singing back in the 50s, Fern, Sister Fern. You know, you hear this voice, and there are certain voices, of course, in country music in particular, Loretta Lynn and others, and, you know, Tammy Wynette and so on.
Mm-hmm.
This voice is every bit that good and that varied, that able to do different things. She wrote her own stuff, a lot of it. Some of it she didn't, but she wrote a lot of her own stuff. Hey, does it ever bother you that she didn't? I mean, was it the religion that kept her from being bigger, do you think? The fact that she had to stick with her husband, you know, doing the revival stuff?
Oh, I think that was absolutely the very first thing that kept her. I know it kept her from going to meet Sam Phillips' son, which she threatened to do every time they had an argument. But honestly, I did get a chance to speak with the producer of these sessions, Mac Wiseman, who's a bluegrass legend.
Mm-hmm.
He said that when this record came out, it was disheartening for him. He eventually left Dot Records and left Hollywood. There was no place to play a lady who sang like this.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, what happened was she went on tour. She was booked at the Opry. She was booked everywhere. And this sounds hard to believe, as ambitious as she was. He wouldn't travel with her.
Yeah.
And she came home.
Well, that's really the story of the play. That's what this play is about. Yeah. And you're really now getting to the stage section,
yes, we are.
A part of this. And I want to hear much more about that. And perhaps when this thing gets to that point, we'll get you back. Folks, it's just, if you care about the beginnings of popular American music, the stuff we listen to today, this is where from it come. Sister Fern, The Glory Road is the name of the album. All you have to do is
numerogroup.com or amazon.com.
Amazon.com and look for Sister Fern.
Fern Jones, The Glory Road.
Fern Jones, and here's a little more. Anita, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pete.
We'll have dinner.
Yeah.
We have dinner a lot, so I suppose it's...
Don't try to cross that river that you cannot see. Don't ride a tunnel through that mountain that may not be. Don't try to bear that burden
that would bring you sorrow. Just let tomorrow be until tomorrow.
Just playing a little more of that, Mr. Jarrett, do you recognize the piano in the background? Even if you've never heard Fern Jones before, do you know who that piano is in the background?
Actually, I thought it was a harpsichord.
It's Floyd Kramer.
Floyd, of course it's
Floyd
Kramer.
Who at that time was playing sessions,
but became one
of the biggest stars. It's her song, but it's Floyd. He became one of the biggest stars of country western music and possibly the most famous of the country western piano players. But here he is playing for Fern Jones. Again, this is just great stuff. Look for The Glory Road. This is KGO San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland.